Canada. God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, my name is Matt Hilder. I am telling you about myself and my brother. I lived with my parents and my father was a cooper by trade. When I was younger, I worked in a factory. When my mother became ill, I had to stay at home and look after the house. But I still had to earn some extra money. My father was old and could no longer earn much. I had a brother, his name was Emil. He was very capable and had made progress in his profession. He had been given a respected position and was doing very well for himself. Later he married a rich woman and he was doing well. He had a beautiful house of his own. I only went to his house once. He didn't care much about us, neither about me nor about my parents. Although he knew that I had to support my parents and work for them, he never gave my parents any money. He only lived for himself and his family. We later believed that he was ashamed of us because we remained simple people while he became respected. He only came to our house very rarely. When my parents became ill and were no longer earning anything, I had to take action. I had to give up my job in the factory. I could no longer work regularly. I had always found work with the farmers. Here, of course, I didn't get any cash as wages, but I was given a number of eggs, some fruit and, if things went well, maybe some meat or bacon. People were happy with that, because they had something to eat again. I couldn't work for farmers all year round. The priest would call me to tend his house. He was a very good person. He lived with his sister, who was no longer young or strong enough to tend the house. So I did my bit. And so I saw a lot of what was going on in the parsonage. Many poor people came and asked the priest to help them. People came and complained that their father was ill and had no income, their mother was ill and there were many children and no one was tending the house. The priest would always say to me, "Matt Hilder, if you want to do a good deed, then go to these people and clean their house and take care of the sick person." He himself would get something to eat from the farmers from time to time, and he would also get eggs, meat, bacon, sometimes a small animal, fruit and the like, even wine. And when he sent me out to these people, they were mostly poor people, he would give me his sister's basket and fill it with all the things he had got for himself. It contained wine, meat, eggs and just what they could spare. I was supposed to take all of this to the poor people. He would also sometimes put a coin in it. So I had to walk many a long way to visit and care for these poor and sick people. But I didn't mind it, it was even a satisfaction for me. I was happy. Because if the priest had given me the task, it was already a special honor for me. No work was too dirty for me. I had done everything, nothing was too much for me, but I was happy. After all, I was pious, I prayed a lot, and so I only wanted to do good. That was how I filled my time. But I could not accept any wages from these people, although I should have worked to earn a little extra, but I had never accepted anything from these poor people. I could not have done it. The priest then gave me a small compensation for each one. He said to me, "Yes, if you do this, I will count it as if you were in my service." He also gave me what he had received from the people. And so I took it home, and we were able to live off of it. Now the time came when my mother became seriously ill and was about to die, and soon after that my father died too. So I was left alone in the house. I took care of it and had to earn a little money on top of that. My brother didn't care about me and hadn't visited me anymore. I had long since gotten used to that, because I knew and suspected that he was ashamed of me. He had now become a respected man and didn't want to admit that he had such a modest sister. Time passed, and I too became ill and had to leave this world. Then my parents welcomed me, father and mother were there. They looked so young and beautiful, although I still remember them from the last days of their lives, when they were old and frail. Now they both stood before me, young and beautiful, and I was so happy for them. They said, "Yes, we looked down on you with joy and saw how good you had done. We are sorry and pained that our son does not have a better understanding of his fellow human beings. It is a pity, he will have to pay dearly for this." Not only were my parents around me, but there were also beautiful beings. They introduced themselves as my guardian angels and my guiding spirits. Then my parents asked me to come to their house. They lived in a beautiful, small house. There were only two apartments in it. They would live on the ground floor, so to speak, looking out into a wonderful garden, and there would be a beautiful view. On the upper floor there was a relative who I would soon see and who I could be happy with. That was how it was. I was led into this house and I was full of joy at being able to be with my parents. But they made it clear to me straight away, the house has been given to us for how long, we don't know. It is simply at our disposal. We were told that we would have to leave the house later and that we would then be given another one. But for now we should be happy in it. At first I found myself a little tired and I really wanted to sleep, I wanted to rest a little. Actually, I was surprised that you can still sleep when you are dead. My parents made it clear to me straight away, look, you have only laid aside your body, your soul lives on, and you live on. You see, we are here too. They explained to me, yes, you can sleep a little now. We will look after you, and when the time comes, we will look after you again. I didn't worry about anything else and just wanted to rest a little. And so it happened. I had a nice bed and I rested there for how long, I didn't know, I didn't have a watch, I didn't concern myself with time anymore, time had stood still. I also no longer asked about the days, what day of the week it was, that didn't bother me. I knew, now I am in the other world and I no longer need to worry about my daily bread. Other laws apply here and I will obey these new laws. Of course, I immediately had a lot of questions. When I woke up and my parents were standing near me, they said, come now and freshen up a little. They offered me something to drink and I was amazed and asked, do you have to eat and drink here too? And they answered, yes, here you can eat and drink too, but it is not done out of the same feeling as you had as a human being. You wanted to eat because you were hungry, you had to eat so that you could keep your strength. Here you don't eat because you have to, but to refresh yourself, to strengthen yourself and at the same time to enjoy what is offered to you. Of course the menus here are not as rich. They smiled, meaning, we weren't used to it either, we had very simple food. But here they gave me something wonderful to drink. It wasn't sweet, it was rather bitter, and yet so refreshing. They said it was wine from the heavenly garden. Yes, I drank it and was happy and felt strengthened. Now I asked them, tell me, is this heaven, and how far is it, and who is all here? I was full, full of curiosity. And they answered, yes, we want to explain one thing at a time to you. We get a lot of visitors here. The angels of God come to us, ask about us. But we can't always be in this house, we have a job, we have to leave the house and go to this job. The joy is all the greater when we can enjoy it to the full again, this beautiful home, this peace, this togetherness. Then I wanted to know, how can you tell when it's time for you to go to work when you don't have time, you don't have watches, nothing, how do you know when it's time? Yes, they said, you'll soon learn what to look out for, you'll soon find out how to hear the call when you have to go to work. Then they walked with me outside the house. The lighting was so beautiful, I found it completely supernatural, that was actually understandable. It was not lighting as I knew it from human life. It was full of many colors, there were certain streams of light that were clearly visible. You could see whole strands of color shining at certain points, it was like lightning. Then they said to me, you see, that is the language that we also have to learn, or that is our time, a light will come over our house, and then we will know that we have to set out. They explained to me, see, the light that now surrounds us so beautifully, so harmoniously and softly is the sign that we are allowed to stay here. We can now be together harmoniously and divide our time. If you want to speak of time, as we please, we can do what we please. But as soon as we notice that this soft light, which you should quickly get used to, is changing, then we have to set out to start work. Yes, It is not the case that the angels of God always come and go from house to house and say, "Come, now it is time, you must go back to your workshop, or you must go here or there." No, that is not the case. They pointed this out to me, and I saw a whole village around me, and in this village it was like this: when this strange light shone or turned on, everyone knew, "Now we must go to work." And so they explained to me, all of us who live here are probably at the same level in our spiritual development. We get on well, and we are all loving, considerate beings. But if we go a little further, and they showed me the long path or the long road, there is also a village, but the light that calls us to work does not shine at the same time for those there, but they have a different light, and depending on that they are then called to work. We also meet with them, but they are not like us. They are not as considerate and as loving, and yet we are actually close together. But we live in a village here, and everyone here is of the same mindset. Yes, there was not just this one neighboring village. They explained to me, "You know, if you climb a little up a hill, you can see many, many villages, and you can recognize small towns. If necessary, we all meet at a very specific place, those who are so considerate and harmonious, and those who are less so. It is then announced when we must meet, and then we meet at a specific point." Now I wanted to know, "What do you have to work on?" And they answered, "Oh, we have a nice job. We work in an artist's workshop and make lots of beautiful things, but we still have a lot to learn and develop. They put a lot of effort into us. Father and mother worked together." And then I wanted to know, "Yes, and will I be with you too?" They replied, "We don't know, we have no idea, we weren't told whether you would come with us to our workshop." Well, I was to be told specifically what I would have to do. When a new being arrives and takes up residence in a house, the divine world does itself the honor of visiting the newcomer after it has slept. That's how it was with me too. My parents were always looking out to see if the beautiful, soft light was still shining, if the call to go to work could still be heard, because they didn't want to leave me alone. The light remained as it was. But then we saw figures coming from far away, towards our house. My parents said, "Well, now they are coming to greet you. Or what do they want from you? We don't know yet." Yes, they came, and my parents showed particular joy. They were also so familiar with them, as if they were long-known friends. I myself was rather shy, because I saw these angels and could remember, when I arrived, they had also been nearby, but I had not spoken to them. I was now a little dazed, and I didn't dare to speak. Then they took my hands and started to speak to me. They said it was now time for me to get a job. I replied that I was of course ready, but I would be happy if I were not separated from my biological parents yet. Then they said, "Yes, you should live with your parents, but work, we can't say that yet." While the angels were speaking these words, the light changed. "I think I can make it understandable to you people if I say, it is like lighting a colored lamp and then you know, yes, this is now the beginning of a new task, let's say, or it is the sign that from now on this or that will be fulfilled." My parents said, "Now we have to go, this is our sign." The two angels then said to me, "We will stay with you in this house for a while and talk to you. You can see how this light changes." While my parents hastily left, the angels walked with me out into the green meadow, and so I saw the change in this light. Then they drew my attention and said, "You will now see the beings of these many little houses. They are your brothers and sisters, and they are all going to work now." I wanted to know, "How long does it take? How long do they have to work?" The angels laughed and said, "You know, with us it is not like with people, where you have your prescribed hours to work. Here it changes from one time to the next. It always stays in a certain rhythm, but in the workshop or in the house or in the place where you do your job, there is a living clock." This meant an angel of God who gave the signal when it was time to return home. People were away for quite a long time. But as my parents told me, they had found great joy in their work, And so in the fervor of their work they had no longing for the beautiful little house, but were content and happy to live together like this. The angels who were with me explained to me that this time it would not be very long before my parents returned. And now they spoke about my life and also about my brother. They regretted that my brother had not remained as he had before and that he had actually lost his true nature. He had become lost in the beautiful life. He had great joy in power and money, had a great influence on him. It was a pity. And they always said to each other, "Yes, what will happen to him? What will happen to him?" And I answered, "Can't you do something to make my brother change, because my parents will be sad if he can't come to us." "Yes, he shouldn't come to us," they said, "no," and they showed me all these villages. He would definitely live nearby, but not in our village. I was a little sad. I was sad because I knew that my brother had changed so much. And because I also knew how much it hurt my parents not to be able to have him with us. But I wanted to comply. But then I said, "And if I pray to God that he will direct his power towards him and he will change?" Then they explained to me that my brother's will played a big role and that things were not going according to God's will, but according to his human will. He could not see or recognize God's will. He was too far away from him. Now, of course, since I was alone with these angels, I wanted to know a lot more. I wanted to know, is it a long way to get to Christ? Where is he? Now I have an idea. I see these magnificent landscapes, and I can imagine the vastness of the area and where he lives. Yes, he lives far away, they told me, far away, and so I probably won't have the opportunity to see him or get close to him yet. They explained that I shouldn't worry too much about it yet. If I then conscientiously fulfilled the work I was given, my wish would come true, and I would then be happy with my parents that my desire was satisfied. Yes, we stayed like that for a while, and the angels of God also gave us refreshments. In their pockets they had precious cups, and here in the house there was a vessel in an equally precious cupboard. From this they took more of the delicious drink that I had already enjoyed. So there were three of us and we drank it. They now told me about heaven, about the new life. They also expressed their disappointment that people don't take it seriously, that they live superficially and that the Christian faith doesn't have the meaning it should for most people, and that their prayers are so superficial. The angels then prayed with me, as one prays in the kingdom of heaven. I had a wonderful time with these two. They told me, when the light changes and your parents come back and you are together again, then someone will come soon, he will call you and you should then go to a certain place that has been designated for you and for many others. I was curious and wanted to know what kind of place it was. Was it going to be my new workplace and what should I do? They replied, "No, you know, what you will do will then become clearer." Now the light began to change again and shortly afterwards my parents were standing there. They were full of joy and excitement and talked to each other about their work, what new things they had seen, what new things they had been shown and how they wanted to create the new things. I didn't really understand it. I hadn't yet had access to their workshop and I had no idea about their work. I was so selfish and was now thinking more about myself and my work, what I should do. I was also a little afraid. I was to go to a place and there it would be determined what I had to do. My two companions told me that it wasn't they who would assign me the work, but higher angels from heaven. Among them there were very strict ones. Angel judges would stand there and examine the individual closely, and the mistakes that people had made in their lives would be openly proclaimed in front of many others. I was afraid and I began to feel ashamed. I studied. What would they say about me? I knew that I had done a lot of things wrong and hadn't lived right. Now, suddenly, it should be proclaimed in front of everyone what I have done wrong? Or then I thought of others again, I felt sorry for others too. But I thought, I don't want to look at them when their sins or mistakes are revealed like that, I don't want to see who it is. I just want to be by myself, just look inside myself. I don't want to look at anyone so that they know that they are not being looked at and that no one has anything to be ashamed of. I was afraid, because in human life they also spoke of heavenly judgment and that all sins would be revealed there, that everything they had done wrong would be read off everyone. And then I was afraid. The two who were with me saw it. They patted me on the shoulder and said, "Sister, you shouldn't be afraid. But, you know, it is not an easy matter, it just has to be like this." Then I tried to catch a glimpse of my parents, who were very close by. I wanted to know from them, they had raised me, and I wanted to read from their eyes whether I should go with courage and confidence or whether I had to go with fear. But I didn't succeed. They both just looked straight ahead and I couldn't make sense of those looks. I didn't know if it was encouragement or reproach. I didn't know. So I wasn't supposed to know. I prayed quietly to myself and I prayed silently, "Dear Savior, help me. Be merciful to me and don't let it happen that all my sins are revealed so publicly. Be merciful to me, forgive me." I prayed like that and I was silent the whole way. The two of them had asked me to come with them and then I had to go with them. My parents hugged me and so we went. The two angels said, "Yes, it won't take too long and then you can go back to the house and be with your parents and your relatives." So I went with them. They took me in the middle and we walked through fields of flowers, through beautiful, lush green meadows. The road we were walking on was strange. I had the feeling that I didn't have to make any effort to walk. I had the feeling that it was just happening by itself. I didn't know how well I took a few steps, but I couldn't be somewhere else that quickly. Because suddenly, in an instant, we were at this designated place. It was a large, mighty garden and many paths led to it. Yes, now I saw that many people were coming towards this garden from different directions and they were all accompanied. I was accompanied by two angels. But then I saw five or six beings. They only had one companion. I didn't dare ask. I thought, "Why do I have two companions, and here come five with only one companion?" But I did see some. They came with a small group of beautifully dressed and decorated angels, a single being with a group of, let's say, 10 wonderfully dressed angels. Now everyone had to take their place. It was as if it had been agreed where to stand and we had been placed. The angels stood a little to the side. But we could keep an eye on them, look at them. Yes, I looked for an answer in the eyes of these two. They were both so beautiful. They had long, blonde, flowing hair, they were slim and beautiful and had such kind, loving eyes. I had the feeling that I always saw a smile on their mouths, but I couldn't read anything into it. If their face or countenance had been a little more stern, I could have taken an answer from it. But they were always like that. They stood there smiling lovingly, and so I could not tell anything from their looks. But I saw that I was not alone, standing there with fears. Yes, I even saw some of those who came there in groups of five or six and even more with a single angel. They came trembling, shy and crying. The angel who accompanied them had spoken kind words to them, I saw, but he could not speak to each one at the same time and take care of them personally. He had to speak to them all together. Yes, I felt sorry for them, and I saw that they were much more afraid than I was. But I wanted to have confidence, and I thought, "My parents got through it too, so I will get through it too." And so the place filled up. They came from all sides, some dejected and sad, others happy and fresh, as if they were going to a party. These were the ones who came with such splendid company. They looked very happy. Well, suddenly it became very quiet. Our companions had moved to the side, and we, who were standing there, did not speak to one another, that is, neither to the right nor to the left, neither to the back nor to the front. Everyone was busy with themselves. No one was paying any attention to the others, because everyone now knew what was going on. There we stood, and suddenly a group of angels of God appeared. They had very stern faces and were dressed very elegantly. Yes, those other angels who were accompanying the being in the group were also beautifully dressed, and my two companions also looked elegant, but not like these ones. These ones were shining, they had lots of shining balls in their robes. I thought they were balls, but they were actually precious stones, but I didn't know that at the time. They sparkled in all directions. These angels of God were so beautiful, but their faces were very stern. They stood in the middle, a circle had been formed, and there was a distance of several meters between them and us, so they could easily walk around in this circle, and so they began. They had colorful coats on, but in my fear and shyness I hardly dared to look at them. But I was so enchanted and dazed, I completely forgot why I was standing there, I was so dazed by the beauty of these beings. And yet I trembled again, I was also a little afraid of these stern people who walked around there as if they were looking for you and their eyes didn't miss anyone. They had started to walk around in a circle and they were talking so quietly to one another. One of them, the most beautifully dressed one, who had a precious ornament on his head, remained standing in the middle. The others walked around in a circle and looked into us, into this crowd, and examined us so penetratingly. Yes, now I knew, now they can read everything, they can read the past, what we have done in human life. As they walked around, they suddenly went through the middle of the rows to this one, then to that one. They were silent, they didn't say a word, and so I hoped that they would also walk past me silently and say nothing, and I would be able to return to my parents. It went on like this for a while, as if they wanted to keep us in suspense and fear. They walked around for a long time, and they all came to everyone. Only the one standing in the middle stayed in his place, and his eyes wandered now to the right, now to the left, once up, once down. Nothing escaped him either, we could see that. Now, suddenly, with a loud voice, one of these angels came and pulled out a being that was standing in the third row. I would perhaps estimate that there were three rows one behind the other, with one standing close to the other. The angel took this one out and brought it into the middle to the one who was the most beautiful. I imagined that this was a high prince, the highest judge who had the power to judge this being in question. And now, this male being, who was taken out of the third row by the angel and placed before this exalted judge, immediately fell to his knees. He could not stand. Then this beautiful, magnificent angel took both of his hands and lifted him up and said to him, "Yes, you had a heart full of goodness and love, we need people with this ability here." And he then called an angel of God to him. Now we saw a large group of angels that we had not seen before, and they were now coming towards us. They were standing a little way off, behind a small group of trees. Then this exalted one gave an angel the order, "Take care of this being," and he said very loudly, "He had a heart full of goodness and love. You know where to put him." Then I breathed a sigh of relief and thought, "Oh, maybe they only see the good, maybe they only talk about the good." And I had hope. Then there was another long silence and they wandered around again. But that being, I still have to catch up with that, was immediately taken away. It did not have to return to its row, but was led away. Where to? I did not look after it anymore, because I was too busy with what was happening here. An angel of God came to us again, took one from the first row, put his hands on its shoulders and said, "Yes, you have made a lot of effort and great sacrifices." He took it out immediately and placed it in front of this angel of God. This being also lowered its head, it did not fall to its knees, but it lowered its head, and the angel of God said, "Yes, sacrifice, you have known that, we will reward you for that, it shall find its reward." And he gave a sign with his hand and this being too was led away. So my hope grew that the same thing could happen to me. Then another angel came and took out two beings at once. These angels were so self-confident, you could see their power and their position. Two beings together were now placed before the judge angel. They also bowed their heads, and we, not just me, but certainly all of us, were waiting for a word of praise to be spoken. But it wasn't like that. They were words of blame. These two had lived without love, they knew no peace, they were domineering. And the angel now told them events from their lives. The two who stood there did not know each other, but they were probably equally burdened. Then the angel told them about this and that, about what he had done wrong and what his punishment would be, They were to be punished for their misdeeds, for their recklessness. He again beckoned to an angel of God, and they were led away, I did not know where. Now I was afraid again. It is just as I was told, they tell you something about your life. So they called one after the other.